This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack. But with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Welcome to Protect Your Legacy with Attorney Blake Harris of Mile High Estate Planning. You can check out their website, milehighestateplanning.com. And a great number for you and easy to remember if you're driving and listening to the show here, 833-ASK-BLAKE. And with that, we will welcome Attorney Blake Harris. Blake, how are you, sir?
Scott, I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. And glad you're doing good as well. And you know, Blake, I was out of town this last week. I had a stepbrother, I think I told you, passed away and had a funeral and all. And this topic came up quite a bit with a lot of my friends in their early to mid-60s. And, boy, I have to say, two people out of about 25 that I talked to have felt like they have all these things in order that we talk about each week. So that's not a good percentage. But I think it's a real percentage, and that's why we do these shows, to educate people on what all this can do when you have everything in order for your loved ones.
Well, Scott, I will comment that's a wonderful thing for the probate attorneys out there, because it's definitely much more profitable for us attorneys when people don't make estate plans. But for the public, yes, it's much better when people have their affairs in order. It's much cheaper for everyone. It's much cheaper for the client if you get your estate plan lined up ahead of time and your family doesn't have to navigate the probate court after you pass away.
Sure. One question came up, or a couple actually, that I was just going to ask you real quick, and then we'll get into our topics for today. But one was saying, you know, if you want to contest a will, first of all, and I told him I believe I was right in this, anybody can contest anything, no matter how ironclad you may feel your paperwork is. Anyone can always, you know, try to fight you on that. So, number one, is that correct?
So, I get asked very often, Blake, I want you to create an estate plan for me that cannot be contested. And I tell clients, I'm sorry, we don't do that for our clients, because there's no estate plan which cannot be contested. However, there are certain estate plans which are more likely to be contested than other estate plans. Those estate plans which are left to probate, those estate plans which only have a last will and testament, are much easier to contest. Okay. And will contests are something that my firm handles. We do spend more time defending wills that have been drafted by other law firms, than we do actually contesting wills. A will contest is a very expensive battle, and it can be avoided by the family planning ahead to avoid the need for their assets to go through probate. And we'll talk a little bit more about how to avoid probate in today's show.
Okay, great. And one other question came up, and one was saying, is it a good idea maybe to not have a relative as someone that is, you know, going to direct your financial means and your medical power of attorney, all of that, and not really have a relative where then there's kind of not any arguing about that and all that kind of thing. Some people were talking about, hey, I'm thinking about just having a really good friend I trust.
So in some cases, I think it's perfectly fine to have a family member be the personal representative. If you're leaving everything to your spouse, then having your spouse serve as the personal representative, as the one managing the financial affairs, that may be just fine. And in lots of situations, we do have clients use family members as their trustee or personal representative. In a lot of cases, we will have them hire an independent trustee or select an independent trustee, such as a professional, such as a bank, a trust company, or in some cases, my law firm can serve as trustee for clients. And then you have a neutral third party. This is especially beneficial if you have either children who are minors or young enough that you don't want them managing their own financial affairs, or in the situation where you have a blended family, you don't necessarily want stepmom managing the funds for the stepchildren. So in some cases, a third-party professional is the right solution. In other cases, having a family member serve as trustee, I feel, is very appropriate as well.
Okay. Once again, you're listening to Protect Your Legacy with Attorney Blake Harris. It's Mile High Estate Planning. And that number, 833-ASK-BLAKE. You can take note of that, and Blake will be glad to field your phone call at any time. All right, Blake, so let's talk about it. And I know these things may repetitive for our listeners that listen all the time, but yet these are things that so many people are confused about. There's myths out there about. So, man, we just want to make sure we get them the right facts, and we appreciate you doing this show with us. But what happens if you do not have an estate plan?
Sure. So let's walk through a few pitfalls that an individual, a family could fall into if they don't have an estate plan. The very first one is that while the family is young and their family business is growing, they could end up getting sued. They could end up on the wrong end of a lawsuit, and they could have to pay out a sizable settlement or get hit with a judgment and see their home foreclosed on or a large portion of their assets taken in a lawsuit. So the very first risk of not doing any estate plan is the effect of a lawsuit. The next risk is that an individual becomes incapacitated. If you lose capacity and you have not done your incapacity planning, then your family is going to need to go through a court-supervised conservatorship and guardianship proceeding. These proceedings can be very expensive, costing $25,000 to $75,000 in many circumstances, and they can last, and they can require ongoing reporting to the court every single year. The next risk is that an individual moves into a nursing home. The average cost for a one-month stay in a nursing home in the Denver area is right around $8,100, so over $8,000 per month that families have to pay for nursing home care costs. Wow. When they've done no planning. And the final risk is that your estate is left to probate after you pass away. Mm-hmm. Probate is the government process for distributing a loved one's assets after they pass away. Probate is not a quick process. It can take 1 to 2 years. It can cost thousands, or in some cases, tens of thousands of dollars. And it can open the door for a family dispute. So there are four main landmines out there if you don't do any estate planning. The first is lawsuits. The second is guardianships, conservatorships, lifetime probate. The third is long-term care costs. And the fourth expense is probate itself. So people often want to know, how much does it cost to create an estate plan? The cost to create an estate plan is a small fraction. Sure. Of the price of not having an estate plan.
So when we come back then and say, you know, how does someone avoid probate? And then is this in just certain documents that, I mean, is it from the will? Is it from a trust? I mean, what are just some of the different documents that you use then to help someone avoid the probate?
So in order to avoid lifetime probate, in order to avoid guardianships and conservatorship proceedings, we would have our clients create a complete set of incapacity documents. There are four primary incapacity documents, which I recommend everyone ages 18 and older create. The very first one is a financial power of attorney. A financial power of attorney allows the agent that you have selected to take over management of your financial affairs in the event that you are no longer able to effectively manage your financial affairs. The second document is a medical power of attorney. A medical power of attorney allows the agent you have selected to make a medical decision on your behalf. The third is a HIPAA release. HIPAA is a federal law which protects the privacy of your health care. In the event that you become incapacitated, you want your agents to be able to access that protected health care information so that they can share with doctors and make informed medical decisions. And then finally, a living will, or as it's called in Colorado, a declaration as to medical or surgical treatment, or also known as an advanced health care directive. And this is where you tell your agents, you tell the doctors that if you are in a permanent vegetative state, if you are going to be stuck indefinitely on a feeding tube or breathing tube, that you do want to have a life support removed. With those incapacity documents, you'll be able to avoid guardianships and conservatorship proceedings in the event that you become incapacitated. So that's step one to avoiding probate. Okay. Incapacity planning. Step two is, and there's a few ways to avoid probate after you pass away, but in most circumstances, the best way to avoid probate after an individual passes away is by creating a revocable living trust. A revocable living trust will allow you to transfer your assets into the trust. So step one, you'll fund the trust, you'll transfer your financial accounts, your real estate, you'll assign your tangible personal property into your trust. And then upon your incapacity or passing away, the family member or professional trustee that you have selected will take over management of your financial affairs. Under this arrangement, they can then distribute assets to the beneficiaries at the time that you have selected. So with a revocable living trust, you're not necessarily just dumping money on your children as soon as you pass away and then having your children lose the money. As I've said on previous shows, rule number one of estate planning, do not leave money to your children. If you leave money to your children, they could lose it because they cause a car accident and get sued, or because they go through a divorce. Instead, leave your money to a trust. A trust can't cause a car accident. A trust can't get divorced. However, a trust can keep your children's and grandchildren's inheritance protected for generations to come so that they can continue to enjoy it long after you have passed away.
Absolutely. And I tell you, you know, I had never heard of this concept, because everyone you always talk to your whole life growing up is, oh, want to leave money to the kids, leave money to the kids. And you just wonder how many times this has not turned out the way the family really designed, for one reason or another, when they've just left a pile of money to a child.
Yes, yes. I've seen many circumstances where young individuals receive large sums of money, and it is often bad, and in some cases it's worse than bad. You don't want to leave money to an individual. And another mistake which I see a lot of estate planning attorneys make is that they say, well, we're going to create a trust for the children until they get to, let's say, age 30, and then at age 30 we're just going to go and dump all the money onto them. If you do that and then the next day your child's spouse files for divorce, your child can end up losing a great deal of their inheritance because of that divorce. Create the trust, keep the money in trust forever. You can allow your child to select their trustee, ultimately take over management of the trust and receive funds anytime that they want to receive it. But don't ever put your child in a position where somebody can come and steal away their inheritance.
Sure. And Blake, there's something that you do, and then we'll come back a couple of topics here, but there's something you do that I found, you know, very good for your clients, and that is you do free lifetime reviews. So I guess number one, why would you do that when you could charge customers for those reviews? And then just tell us, you know, your reasoning and why that's important to you to do it.
Sure. So one of the most common estate planning mistakes, probably second after simply putting it off, is not updating it. Having an out-of-date estate plan can be far worse than having no estate plan at all. We want to encourage our clients to continue to communicate with us as their life situation changes, whether it's a marriage or divorce, birth or death, and inheritance they receive. As their life and asset situations change, we want our clients to continue to communicate with us. So our goal is to keep our clients' estate plan in line with their goals. So we will always do a review for our clients. Anytime someone has hired us, we're happy to meet with them a few years later to discuss their current estate plan. If they actually need a change or an amendment to their trust, we do charge a nominal fee for that. But simply to discuss changes in their circumstances, we welcome our clients to call. We encourage our clients to be in contact with us, because if we can keep our clients' estate plan in line with their goals, we keep our clients happy. And that's a little secret we have to growing a successful business.
Sure. Once again, you're listening to Protect Your Legacy with Attorney Blake Harris, Mile High Estate Planning. Check out his website. And I say this every show, but it's because it's very important. Check out milehighestateplanning.com and just take a couple of minutes and go through the reviews and see what Blake's clients have said about his process and what he's done for them. And Blake, I have never seen such glowing reviews, and your customers' own words, really, of what you've done for them to help their family and to set their mind at ease and to have them a proper plan.
Yes, we have, I believe, 60 Google reviews. Every single one is a 5 out of 5 5 stars. We take very seriously the work we do. I do try to meet with our clients in a very relaxed and comfortable atmosphere, but we take very seriously the work we do and take great pride in servicing our clients. And one thing to mention is if you're coming to our website, you could also send me an email, blake@milehighestateplanning.com, and I'd be happy to share with you a copy of my recent book that I just finished. It is called The Ultimate Guide to Estate Planning and Asset Protection. It's an ebook PDF that if any listeners would like a copy of, I'm more than happy to right now share a free copy. Okay. Shoot me an email asking for a copy of the book. That's blake@milehighestateplanning.com. And the name of the book is The Ultimate Guide to Estate Planning and Asset Protection. It's what I believe to be the best compilation of information regarding today's show.
Absolutely. And I tell you, you mentioned earlier the long-term care cost, and that has wiped out many, many people because they didn't have a plan. Our medical cost is killing us.
Yes, this is true. Many families will see their parents' estate dwindle. Others will see an estate completely wiped out because of the cost of long-term care. This does not have to be your family. You can avoid paying for long-term care by planning ahead. You can mitigate your long-term care costs by doing last-minute or crisis planning, but if you can plan 5 years or more in advance of moving to a nursing home, you will be able to preserve nearly all of your assets, nearly all of your parents' assets, and pass those to the next generation when your parents pass away and not have Medicaid come back and recover the family home.
Wow. No, it's very true. And as you've mentioned, the cost of that is ever rising. And you mix in some medical cost with that. Boy, it does not take long to really do some damage there. Now, you mentioned with your book, and I'm glad you mentioned that. And you mentioned also estate planning, but then asset protection. And we did a show on that recently and got several emails about that show. And I thought, you know, if it'd be okay, maybe we could touch on that, a few of those things, just a little bit. Don't have time to get into all that we did on that show. But when you talk about asset protection, kind of just take a few minutes and walk us through what you mean there.
Sure. So asset protection is a process of rearranging your financial affairs in a manner that makes it more difficult or impossible for somebody who sues you to take property away from you. We, as Americans, live in one of the world's most litigious societies. 10,000 lawsuits are filed every single day. Mm-hmm. There are billions of dollars ordered to be paid out in judgment every few days. And there are strategies that individuals can take to avoid getting hit with a lawsuit. One of the most common misconceptions I come across in the asset protection world is that asset protection is only for the super wealthy. This is simply not true. And I'd like to illustrate it with an example of two clients. We have client A that has $1 million and client B with $100 million. If both of these clients are sued for $5 million, client A, I'm going to say, you need to settle this case. You need to make some type of offer mm-hmm. to make this go away because a $5 million judgment is going to be devastating. Client B, worth $100 million, I'm going to tell them, don't pay that, fight it, hire the best defense counsel you can, and if you end up losing, then it's not going to have much of an effect on your standard of living or quality of life.
Sure.
The majority of my clients who I've done asset protection planning for, and we can do all kinds of asset protection planning from forming domestic corporations, which makes it harder to flex, to forming domestic or international asset protection trusts. The majority of the clients that I've worked with have somewhere between about $500,000 and about $5 million in assets. These are the individuals who benefit the most from asset protection planning. And right now, asset protection is a hot topic. COVID has definitely changed the business landscape in a lot of ways. There are people who are on the hook for long-term leases that are concerned about how they're going to continue to maintain them. And I'm getting contacted by more individuals than we ever have in the history of our practice that are looking to and interested in setting up a an asset protection plan.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we mentioned on the previous show, you know, you even went into onshore, offshore, and third-party asset protection. So I think most of us get the onshore and offshore, but when you talk about a third-party asset protection trust, what are we kind of talking about there?
So the third-party asset protection trust, it's similar to the nursing home trust in that you're giving up beneficial interest in the property, which means that you pretty much form a trust or form a corporation, and instead of you being the one who's the beneficiary of that trust, you name your spouse or you name one of your children as a beneficiary of the trust. The good part about this strategy is that it removes that asset from your financial affidavit. If anybody from your balance sheet, if anybody ever attempts to sue you, you can turn around and say, I don't own any assets. You've given away the assets to a trust that holds them for the benefit of someone else. And then the trust does have a provision in it which allows, in certain circumstances, you to be added back as a beneficiary and later have money distributed directly to you. But if there are other people who you'd be supporting otherwise, why don't you transfer it to a trust? It's not going to be subject to their creditors. It's not going to be subject to your creditors. And it's cheaper to set up these type of trusts. It's less expensive to set up a third-party trust than it is a domestic or international asset protection trust. The domestic or international asset protection trusts are beneficial as well because you are able to keep control of the property yourself and you remain the beneficial owner. So it's a case-by-case scenario. In some cases, a domestic or international asset protection trust is the right solution. And in other cases, a third-party trust. It just depends on the individual clients need to control their money and also their age. As clients get older, I'm more inclined to recommend a third-party trust. For clients that are younger and still growing their business or still advancing in their career, I'm more likely to recommend some type of domestic, international, or hybrid between the two in terms of an asset protection trust.
Okay. A few more minutes here with Attorney Blake Harris. You're listening to Protect Your Legacy. It's milehighestateplanning.com. The number real easy for you, 833-ASK-BLAKE. And as Blake mentioned, he's got a beautiful office downtown. You can certainly welcome to come there if you're more comfortable doing the virtual way, as we've been doing over the last several months. That can certainly be done as well. But and it's free parking, by the way, downtown. You don't hear that much, but it is very convenient. And, of course, they're practicing all the things to keep you safe. But I hope that you will give Blake a call. Many of us just put this off far too long. So all you got to do is call 833-ASK-BLAKE. Now, Blake, you mentioned very early in the segment today about not updating your plan. What are maybe an example or two you can think of where you ran into this where, man, they just didn't have things updated? And then maybe part B of the question would be, what are some of the life events that would cause us to call you to get those changes?
Sure. So I represented a pair of sisters. These sisters were pretty young. I think they were in their early 20s, very sad. They'd lost her father. The dad had created an estate plan a while before he passed away. Well, the father had gotten divorced between the time he signed his will and the time he passed away. He'd also changed homes. So when he created the estate plan, he left money to his former spouse, which is not who he wanted the money to go to. He tried to change it by doing a handwritten change, which just caused confusion with the court. And then the home never got put into the trust. Another common mistake is not funding the trust. I don't sell trust. I don't sell wills. I sell estate plans, and estate plans include a trust or include a will. And in this situation, the client had a trust, but it was an out-of-date trust, and it was not properly funded. And the daughters had to spend quite a bit of money going through the probate process to clean up their father's mess. It's why I, like we mentioned earlier, include free lifetime reviews for our clients. So this type of situation does not happen for clients who work with Mile High Estate Planning.
Right.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of the cure, and that's certainly true when it comes to estate planning. But the even more common mistake is simply putting it off. Mm-hmm. Many people delay creating an estate plan thinking that it's going to be a daunting or difficult task. I ask many of my clients after they finish the process of creating an estate plan with my firm, Mile High Estate Planning, what they thought of their experience. And over I hear, this was much simpler, much easier, and much more affordable than we thought. My firm, we offer very competitive pricing. We're not cheap knockoff attorneys. We're not the cheapest ones by any sure. by any means, but among firms with our level of experience, I think we are absolutely the best value for our clients.
Absolutely, and last minute and a half here, but here's one thing I love about it. This is all you do. You're not dealing with multiple other areas of law. This is all you do 24/7 is estate planning.
Don't call me if you get a DUI. don't call me if you need your oil change. But if you need anything done within the estate planning world, and I mean anything within the estate planning umbrella, simple wills, revocable living trust, qualifying for Medicaid, gun trust, pet trust, long-term care planning, incapacity planning, and then we do all the probate work as well. So probate administration and litigation, trust administration and trust litigation, it's all within our wheelhouse. We're not a sole practitioner firm. We have to worry about one attorney missing. I have four attorneys that work for my firm. We're not a mega firm either where you're going to get lost in the shuffle or have to pay outrageous prices either. We're all focused 100% on estate planning and probate, and we have been since we started the firm. To the best of my knowledge, we are the only law firm in Colorado that actually puts the term estate planning in the name of our business. Others will claim they've only been doing estate planning, when in truth, they've been changing the practice area every few years. We have been 100% estate planning focused since I started the firm many years ago.
Well, Blake, as always, it's a privilege to have you on the show. We thank you for all the knowledge that you bring to our listeners, and I sure hope we will make your phone ring today, and some people will get in to see and get their plan going with you, sir.
Certainly hope I can help some of the listeners as well. Scott, it's always a pleasure. Look forward to being back on the show sometime soon.
All right. Thank you, sir. That is Attorney Blake Harris. You've been listening to Protect Your Legacy from MileHighEstatePlanning.com, 833-ASK-BLAKE. We'll be right back.
Here's why you need personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh on your side. He understands how the jury thinks.
In the context of a personal injury case where you have been hurt by someone else's negligence, the idea with that is that you're then going to try to recover to get back to where you were just prior to that incident occurring. And what that really means from a juror's perspective is that you're going to be asking them to award you money. So when we talk about fairness, we're talking about what six people that don't know you, that hear evidence and have to make a unanimous decision, will decide as to what fair value is. And so you and I, when we get hurt, have definitely an idea of what we think it's worth to us. But the question is, what can you articulate to those other individuals who don't know you and are not involved in this process to get them persuaded about what it is that they think the case is worth?
Call now for a free consultation. 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law. They get results.
Hi, this is Scott Watley from my friends at Enchanted Kitchens. At Enchanted Kitchens, it's all about the magic of design. Whether you're remodeling your kitchen or building a custom home, Enchanted Kitchens offers a full-service design center with multiple product lines to meet any budget. And right now, when you mention Haystack Help Radio, you'll receive 15% off your Europa brand cabinets. And after you visit their experience center in Inglewood, you'll get a no-cost, no-obligation in-home design consultation. Hey, after all, the kitchen is the heart of every home. Call Enchanted Kitchens today, 303-376-7588. That's 303-376-7588. Enchanted Kitchens is a member of the Haystack Help Home Team.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager All-in-One Loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable interest mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Got a question for the station? Email info at CrawfordBroadcasting.com. Now back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome to Nutrition and Wellness with Dr. Mark Riggs. It's brought to you by 5280 Functional Medicine, where there is a better way to take control of your health. Their number is 720-722-0386. Dr. Riggs, always good to see you, sir. How are you?
Scott, good to be with you.
I tell you, staying healthy, we better all make that a New Year's resolution today. Not even wait a couple of months. But, you know, I have been talking to a lot of people, you know, through this whole pandemic, and it does seem like, you know, quite a few people are taking a little bit more, trying to, control of their health and everything. But, man, a lot facing us because, I mean, you look at our diet that we've talked about so much that's out there. You look at the fires that are going on right now and so many people, you know, not only with all the devastation and damage, but to our health there, just breathing all that. And you just look at our day-to-day lives, the lack of sleep, the stress. How do we stay healthy through all this?
Absolutely. There's a lot going on in what you just said. And, you know, as a healthcare provider and functional medicine practitioner, an alternative medicine practitioner, I definitely know that the key is that it starts with patients educating themselves, yeah. Right? And you just start small, right? There's plenty of resources nowadays, and I know it can get a little convoluted, and I know there's plenty of medical misinformation out there, but we as doctors and as healthcare providers, I'm talking about my wife and I, we take that to heart. And, you know, doctor means teacher, and we expect ourselves to educate our patients, and we challenge ourselves to bring that to the table. We realize that most doctors are only spending 8 to 12 minutes with their patients. That's not enough time to do any kind of deep dive into their health history, into the various lifestyle factors that constitute the foundations of health or lack thereof. And that's just not enough time to do any kind of educating, which is just essential in making any kind of significant or long-lasting improvements in function and health and so on and so forth. So, you know, there is a lot to what you just said in that, you know, what can or what should people be doing to keep themselves healthy? And we've talked about a lot on this show, and for anybody listening, you can go over to our website, 5280functionalmed.com, and listen to gobs and gobs of previous shows on our radio show tab. That's all really valuable information condensed into a short period of time. But, you know, we are in a chronic disease epidemic mm-hmm. in our country today. Sure. I mean, that is just the nature of where we are. Make no mistake about it. There is a chronic disease epidemic. And now people say, well, come on, this is the United States. And aren't we number one? And aren't we the best? And don't people come here from all over the world to get procedures? And to that I say, yeah, absolutely. For acute care, right? And what I mean by that, Scott, is emergency medicine. Our emergency medicine for acute care, like if you get hit by a car, if you're in a car accident, right? If you fall off a ladder and you suffer a traumatic brain injury, or if you get an infectious disease, the United States emergency healthcare system, medical system, is second to none. However, the vast majority of us are not suffering from acute illness that requires an acute care approach. The vast majority of American citizens are suffering from chronic, lifestyle-induced,
multifactorial conditions that require a much more nuanced approach than what we are currently utilizing today. And I've mentioned this in the past, Scott, but it's worth mentioning again that, you know, conventional medicine, the model of medicine that we are familiar with in this country, it was born a couple hundred years ago, 200 to 300 years ago, in a time when 7 or 8 out of the top 10 causes of death were due to those acute illnesses, right? Infections and traumas, you know, things like that. And those 7 or 8 out of the top 10 were killing most people. Well, nowadays the landscape has entirely changed, and 7 or 8 out of the top 10 are causes of death in the United States are currently from chronic lifestyle induced conditions that don't just simply require one doctor, one treatment, one finite period of time, and then you're better. They're very, very complicated. They're multifactorial. They're lifestyle induced. And the current system of medicine that was established those couple hundred years ago for acute care is what we're currently attempting to apply to this new landscape of chronic disease conditions. And that mismatch in applying this acute care model with these chronic conditions is failing us. It is absolutely failing the United States and our citizens, and it's a big, big problem, which kind of leads me into the topic that I wanted to explore today. You know, I mentioned that we're in this chronic disease epidemic. It's mm-hmm. it's no secret. We're all familiar with it. You know, diabetes and obesity combined, over 1 billion people worldwide are suffering from it. Obesity in adolescence has quadrupled in the last 30 years in the United States. We're now almost 20% of kids aged 6 to 11 are obese.
Yeah.
More than 600,000 people in the United States die every year from a heart attack. Autoimmune disease, 1 in 4 women and 1 in 6 men currently have an autoimmune disease. 90% of adults take some sort of prescription drug. They take some sort of over-the-counter drug. Over half of adults take some sort of prescription drug. And 40% of the elderly take more than 5 medications. And by the way, every medication that you take, they weren't necessarily studied on all on top of each other, mixed together. So your likelihood of an adverse effect from those medications goes up, although your doctor is very likely to just sort of brush that under the rug because they're concerned about treating your condition. That's standard of practice. That's how they do it. And so the adverse effects take a back seat. According to the CDC, autism prevalence has more than doubled since the year 2000, and that's not just due to increase in detection. The number of people diagnosed with depression increases by 20% every year. And we've all heard the grim news. You know, this is the first generation of children that are estimated to live shorter lifespans than their parents. So it's a big, big problem that we can't just ignore. And you know, another thing that I've talked about in great detail in the past is that, you know, if current trends continue in the next 2 to 3 decades, 95% of Americans will be overweight, and 1 in 3 will have diabetes. Currently, it's 1 in 10. 10% of the population has diabetes or prediabetes, and in the next generation, it's estimated to be 1 in 3 if we do nothing about it. And certainly, our current conventional medical model is not suited. It is not ready. It is not capable of handling this problem, because if it was, we wouldn't be in the situation that we're in currently. It's an absolute mess, and nobody is thinking about doing anything about it, except for those of us who utilize this functional medicine approach of actually diagnosing and treating chronic health conditions from a root cause upstream approach. That is just not how our Western medical model is set up. It was set up as very much as a symptom-based approach to care. And again, that mismatch between an acute care model of healthcare used on chronic conditions is a complete and utter failure. So that's where we're at today. And the topic that I wanted to explore for the rest of our time is how do we stay, to answer your question, how do we stay healthy in this chronic disease landscape that we live in and in this very toxic environment, this very toxic world, this very toxic planet that we find ourselves in? And so what I wanted to talk about today is this idea of detoxifying ourselves, right? And so this term that we hear from lots of alternative practitioners nowadays called detox. It's just a simplified word for detoxification. Our bodies are designed to detoxify from the things that we encounter in the environment. The primary organs involved in detoxification, number one, first and foremost, is the liver. But then other organs and glands for detoxifying, removing these toxins from our body that we accrue through our, you know, day-to-day habits, the kidneys, the large intestine, the lymphatic system, and even our sweat glands. So, you know, detoxification is just the body's physiological process of rendering chemicals and compounds and hormones and other toxicants less harmful, making it easier for our body to eliminate them primarily through the urine, the stool, sweat, and breathing. So we have four major methods of elimination. So let's say somebody's taking an anticholinergic drug that, you know, helps them decrease secretions from their nasal cavity because they've got a runny nose. Well, that anticholinergic drug also results in urinary retention. And so that can impact one of our main avenues of detoxifying. What happens if a patient's chronically constipated for one reason or another? Let's just say we have a patient we're working with that's chronically constipated. Well, that person is much more likely to be toxic, to result in an accumulation of toxins which have ill effects on your health as a result of their chronic constipation. Right. So these are all issues that we have to, you know, first evaluate and understand that this patient is suffering from something like this, and then we have to treat it accordingly.
Sure. And you know, we hear a lot of words, but the word detox. I mean, so how do you even start with that? And then, you know, because, as you mentioned, there's different parts of the body, all this different things. So how do you go about even getting started with that, if maybe putting one of your patients on?
Great question. Well, our toxic load, when we're talking about detoxing, the reason why we're doing it is to decrease our overall toxic load. And it's a pretty simple formula, Scott. Our toxic load is dependent on our total toxic exposure, right? All the toxins that we're exposed to, minus our body's ability to transform and excrete those toxins. So if that's the formula that we're working with, total toxic load equals total toxic exposure minus our ability to transform and excrete toxins, well, then there's your answer. You do everything that you can to diminish and decrease your toxic exposure and support your ability to transform and excrete toxins. In the simplest of terms, that is what we do. How we do it is extremely nuanced, extremely individualized, and it gets incredibly detailed because, Scott, there are tens of thousands of toxins in our environment, and it's impossible to avoid them all. There are even studies of the umbilical cord blood of babies. They clip the cord, they cut the cord, and they study the cord blood of newborn babies, and there are already numerous chemicals in the cord blood of infants, believe it or not. So when I say that it's impossible to completely avoid toxins, I mean it's absolutely impossible nowadays because mom has already been exposed to a lot of things that's being passed through the umbilical cord and into the placenta that's already circulating in the baby before they've even breathed their first breath.
Wow.
So it's pretty crazy when you think about it. But I and others like my wife and I truly think that the future of medicine is in large part going to depend on each person's toxic load. And the person that is able to stay healthy and with the least exposure to toxins combined with the best ability to detox, those are the people that are going to win the race of life. And they're going to get the furthest down that road of life the healthiest. That really is where we're headed, because we are adding thousands and thousands of chemicals to the environment every year, and tens of thousands every decade. There's a study, the Toxic Substance Control Act has actually said that in about 1982, there was just under 60,000 chemicals as of 1979 to 1982. And then in about 2016, that number is up over about 82,000 chemicals in our environment. So these are, Scott, these are things that's sprayed on carpets and couches and furniture. These are things that we, you know, spray on our skin and use in beauty products, and our, you know, preservatives and chemicals and flame retardants and plastics and all sorts of compounds, which is why I'm saying, you know, it's staggering how many chemicals there are. But when we actually do what we need to do to reduce our toxic exposure, and how do we know how to do that? Well, first we have to educate ourselves, and you can always do your own research. But, you know, my wife and I and our health coach Bryn, this is part of what we do. We know quite a bit about this particular area. We don't know everything, but we know quite a bit to help our patients dramatically reduce their toxic exposure and support the systems of the body to render as many of these toxins as possible inert and pass them out of our bodies so that they're not just hanging around, that we actually get them out of our bodies. So in addition, you know, detoxing also, in addition to removing, you know, things and avoiding foods that are high in toxic chemicals, like the EWG.org is a great resource that I always refer to for my patients. And every year they reevaluate what are known as the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. So these are the dirtiest 12 foods in our organic produce supply, and the cleanest foods in our produce section of our grocery stores. And so basically we've got to eliminate those harmful foods. Detoxing also stabilizes blood sugar. It helps heal your gut. And numerous other health benefits for patients that may suffer from fatigue, a detox might be indicated. How about if you have an inability to lose weight, right? Why would we have a difficulty losing weight if we were toxic and we were storing a lot of toxins in our bodies? Well, because the toxins that we come in contact with, the body likes to place those toxins in the most inert storage depot in the body. And that's not going to be in the brain. That's not going to be in the heart. That's not going to be in the eyes or in the kidneys or anywhere else. It's going to be in the fat, right?
Right.
So if we're storing lots of toxins in the fat and we decide to go on a, you know, crash diet and start exercising like a fiend and try to start forcing our body to lose our fat stores, well, what's going to happen? You're going to have the same amount of toxins in your fat, but you're going to shrink that storage depot of fat, and in essence you're becoming more toxic. Patients that do this have a likelihood of feeling ill when they try to exercise like crazy and try to, you know, start to crash diet and these type of things, and it's because they haven't detoxified properly. So an overall of feeling unwell, patients that have set chemical sensitivities or severe symptoms of certain diseases like tremors, headaches, cognitive difficulties, any and all of these people, and just the general population, may benefit from a detox at one point or another. And again, a detox just means cutting off the toxic load at the sources. My team is equipped to help patients comb through their lifestyle and their products that they use and the things that you come into contact with day to day, the things that you use on your body day to day, the things that you put in your mouth day to day. We have to think in terms of what are we exposing ourselves to every day, day after day. That it really starts there. And then we can start to support the body at the same time in rendering these toxins inert and supporting the body in being able to pass these out of our body. So we get toxins. In short, we get toxins from the food, our food, water, the air, and numerous, those tens of thousands of chemicals that are man-made that didn't exist a couple hundred years ago. They're all brand new, and we made these monsters, right? And right. So now they're, and now we're wondering, why are human beings in the industrialized world suffering from cancer at record rates, suffering from neurodegenerative diseases at record rates, suffering from cardiovascular disease and chronic metabolic disease at record numbers? Well, maybe it has in part to do with the fact that we've created all these chemicals and all these toxic substances, and we are putting them in us and on us and injecting them into our veins and in the veins of our children. And maybe they weren't supposed to be there. Maybe we're playing Frankenstein's monster with this stuff, and maybe we're just experiencing the downstream effects of all of that madness. And so it's, like I said, I truly believe, and many others believe in functional medicine and very, very smart people, that the people that are able to avoid these toxins and detoxify the best, those are the people that are going to make it the farthest, and not just make it the farthest, but make it the farthest while still maintaining their quality of life. Okay.
Sure.
So, you know, it's, there's a lot to this topic. There's, mm-hmm. there's a ton to explore, and I'm just trying to kind of go over some of the cliff notes, but really I want people listening to imagine their body like this idea of toxic load in the body, like a bucket. And we keep filling that bucket with toxins because we have no choice. We walk through our world and our environment, and we accumulate stuff. We sure. breathe stuff, we eat stuff, we touch stuff. And if we are not emptying that bucket at least as fast as we are filling that bucket, that it's only a matter of time before that bucket overflows and we wind up experiencing overt symptoms of toxicity. And you know, there's a lot to this. There's genetics, there's issues like I mentioned before, constipation, there's deficiencies of nutrients that can influence how fast that bucket spills out and fills up. Chronic stress certainly doesn't do us any favors. Excessive inflammation in the body, which we've talked about. Inadequate physical activity, again, because if you're not moving your body and you're not sweating on a regular basis, you're much more likely to be toxic, just like those constipated patients out there. And how about if you're getting inadequate restorative sleep? How about all the sleep apnea patients out there that are not getting adequate quantity or quality of sleep? And just as an FYI for everybody listening, when we sleep, that is the primary time that our liver detoxifies our body. So if you're curious as to why you feel like garbage, if you're curious as to why you feel so toxic, and you know you have a sleep problem, you know you have a problem with insomnia, either getting to sleep, waking up too early, or difficulty with waking up numerous times throughout the night, we need to get a handle on that.
Sure.
ASAP, right? So there's just, I mentioned, you know, food, air, water. Scott, I've talked about this on previous shows. According to the, according to several governmental organizations that redo these studies every 5 years or so. It was a combined effort through the, I believe, the USDA and the Health and Human Services Department. Adults age 19 and over in the United States, these are foods, the top foods consumed by the calorie. These all contain horrible things for us and toxins, and most of us are not just eating these things once a month mm-hmm. or once a year. We're eating these things every single meal, right? So the top 10 are grain-based desserts, yeast breads, chicken and chicken mixed dishes, soda, energy drinks and sports drinks, alcoholic beverages, pizza, tortillas, burritos, and tacos, pasta and pasta dishes, beef and beef mixed dishes, and dairy desserts. Not one fruit or vegetable on that list. And the fruits and the vegetables, which our, my health coach Bryn will be on next week to right. expand on this topic and talk more about the lifestyle factors and more on nutrition. But the fruits and vegetables that we eat are healthy. The reason why mom and dad have been telling us to eat fruits and vegetables is because when you eat those colorful fruits and vegetables, the reason why they're colorful is because they contain antioxidants, things that render things, substances, these oxidizers and oxidants inert and help detoxify the body, help cleanse the colon, help support the liver and the kidneys. There are so many health benefits to just pounding your organic fruits and vegetables. So I encourage everybody listening to please do that and avoid those top 10 foods that I just mentioned on this list, because those are doing nothing or next to nothing to help us improve our detoxification ability.
Right.
So it's a complicated topic. It's a nuanced topic. We're exposed to a lot of different things, but one thing that my team and I are equipped to do is help coach our patients how to avoid as many toxins as possible and how to support the areas of the body that are responsible for detoxifying. And when we do that, these patients with some of these chronic conditions that I rattled off just a few minutes ago, it can experience dramatic benefits and long-term improvements in their health. But it's not going to come from a pill, and it's not going to come from a conventional doctor,
right.
because this just isn't their area of expertise. Again, it's our current medical model is an acute care system of medicine that averages 8 to 12 minutes for patients to see patients, barely enough time to look you in the eye. They barely touch you anymore, do a physical exam. They don't get into lifestyle factors. They don't get into your nutrition. They don't get into what you're eating on a day-to-day basis, let alone all of these chemicals that you may be exposing yourself to that may be wreaking havoc inside your body nefariously.
Sure.
And one last thing before we wrap up here, because this is really important. We can test for this stuff, Scott. These chemicals,
right,
and exposure to plastics and chemicals and toxins and heavy metals and all of these things of that nature that I'm referring to that wreak havoc throughout the body, we can and do test for these in our patients, and the testing is an invaluable component of being able to diagnose and treat patients that might be toxic.
Dr. Riggs, great information. I'm telling you, we'll have to do some more follow-up on this, because getting healthy is a process. It's going to take some steps, and here's the first step. Call 720-722-0386. Mention you heard Dr. Riggs here on Nutrition and Wellness. So, Dr. Riggs, thank you very much, sir. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, sir. Have a great weekend, everybody.
All right, you as well. 5280functionalmed.com. Thanks for being with us today. Don't go anywhere. Leave it right here on KLZ 560.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.